This episode is brought to you by our friends at Squarespace.com, helping you make a fantastic website in 2015 that everyone can admire. With wonderful templates, easy-to-use tools, e-commerce, a free domain, and more. Go to Squarespace.com right now, try the free trial, and if you decide to stay, for 10% off your order, use the offer code MORNINGSTREAM. Coming up on TMS, Mendoza is on the frozen lake just looking at me.
A listener has predictions for our 2015.
Old dudes will die from drinking before young do.
Okay. Family of big feet was fake.
Bieber is now a Calvin Klein model.
Oh, God. Fox has big plans for the next big movies.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
This is Tommy's room, and he's thinking about his room. Can you guess what he's thinking? Look how neatly all of Tommy's clothes are hung in the closet. Yes, that's what Tommy's thinking about. How neat and straight his whole room is. Tommy's thinking hard, because he hasn't done a thing to his room since he left for school this morning.
There came again the form he had so recently learned to hate. Man!
This is The Morning Stream. Dave's not here, man.
Hello, everybody. By the skin of our teeth, it's TMS. It's The Morning Stream. It's a new episode of The Damn Show for Wednesday, 7th of January. 7th of January, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
Hi, Brian. How you doing there? You biffed it on the sidewalk. You all right?
A little achy. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm just adjusting my position in my chair because I'm sitting in a chair for a change. Mm-hmm. And holy cow. Yeah, so I was taking out the recycling this morning, and because of the recent snow and the snow melt because of the warm couple days, and then the refreeze last night, and then a slight dusting of snow overnight, the driveway was a sheet of ice, and it did not look like a sheet of ice. So I started trucking down there with a crate full of recycling, and about a third of the way just completely slipped and fell on my butt.
Yeah.
And slid two thirds of the way. Like there is a butt print skid mark slide clearing of the snow going two thirds of the way down the driveway.
It's still there, yeah, right? The first thing you didn't do was think to get up and brush that out. You had to leave.
Yeah, no. The first thing I did was curse a couple times, get up, and pick up all the recycling now that was all over the driveway and the street. And
dang, dude.
All over the place. So my back, actually, you know, it's a twinge. I've got an ice pack on it,
mm-hmm.
Kind of wrapped in my shirt to kind of keep it in one place where I need it.
Yeah.
But holy cow! Like if I twist to get something,
yeah,
or turn my chair or something, oh,
you're bad.
Stinging, stabbing pain.
Well, if it hurts already, if this just happened this morning and it hurts that much now, tomorrow is going to be a rough day.
Oh God,
going to really hurt tomorrow. But that's okay because the day after that. Should start to clear up.
Thanks for giving me something to look forward
to. Sure, sure. You got to have something to hang on to in this life. I understand. I've done this before. I totally feel your pain, although I don't feel that specific pain. But it is weird seeing you in a sitting position. I got to say that.
Yeah, it's weird being in a sitting position. I'm trying to think if, was I, for the first episode of TMS, we were sitting, right?
I mean, yeah, we were both sitting.
I haven't done the standing desk yet. Mm-hmm. But it was probably shortly after that, like April 2011.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just into that year, maybe not even halfway into that year, we both got this wild hair up our butts about standing.
Yeah, and I don't think, I think this might be the first show that wasn't done from the road where I didn't have a standing desk.
Yeah.
But the first show I've done from here since then that I'm sitting for feels
weird. Oh, weird. Yeah, see, I kind of go back and forth. I'll stand one day, sit the next. I kind of mix it up.
Mm-hmm.
It sort of just depends on my fatigue level.
That's what they say to do, is to not spend your entire time staying. That's actually why I got the this adjustable deal.
Yeah. That way you don't get the footy flanter plashyitis, or the hell they call it. What's it called? The fleshy plantar itis.
Plantar fasciitis.
There it is. That's it. Who's that named
Bad
after?
Bad foot issues.
Yeah, don't do that. I did notice something yesterday. I was at the Smith's grocery store. Okay, it's a local chain here. don't know if you guys have those. You guys have a Smith's?
We don't have Smith's.
All right, it's kind of regional.
King Supers.
Oh, that's cool. That's even better. I wish we had that. Smith's known. Smith's, Harmon's, and there's another one. They're all kind
Kroger's?
Of. No Kroger's, but we have some stores that are owned by Kroger.
Okay, yeah, that's what our King Supers is, our Kroger equivalent. Gotcha. Safeway, you guys have Safeway where you're
we
at?
Used to have Safeway, we no longer have Safeways. I feel like
it's
those
funny.
All moved
Who
to California.
Who came up with that name for a grocery store, right?
It's stupid.
Here's a Safeway to buy groceries, because other places you'll get shot at.
That is a weird name, now that you mention it. When I grew up, it was always go down to the Safeway and get a Coke, and I was like, all right, cool, but now you say it and it sounds real weird. Safeway?
It's a Safeway.
Yeah, it's super weird. But we're in the Smith's Food and Drug. Locals will know it. And are everywhere here. And so we're in this newish one because they had some case lot deal on turkey or something. So Kim's like, let's go down there and get this stuff. I said, all right, fine, let's go. We get down there and we're in one of these lines where it's one dude who needs to do something else. But since we're the last ones in line, he needs to take care of us. And then he's supposed to go somewhere else.
Right.
So the lady in
like
the...
turns off his light kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's off. Once we get in, he turns it off. And the lady next to us in the next aisle steps in front of me because she's just in her little cubby there.
Yeah.
In the hall where I'm standing, not hall, but the corridor between the two lanes where I'm standing is where she would get out to leave if she wanted to. And she comes like right in front of me, kind of leans, it's hard to explain, past me with her kind of chest in my face and says to this guy, oh, when you're done with these people, you need to go over to blah, 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 and tells him to something else to do. And he goes, okay, that sounds great. So he gets to working away. And while this is happening, some lady and her husband roll up to the same thing, even though the light's off, and stack like 60 pounds more food on there. Just tons of more stuff. And this lady kept leaning across me, going, oh, okay, after those people, then you need to blah, 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 blah. And if somebody else comes over, and then she leaned over again and go, oh, and if somebody else shows up here, you need to tell them that you're closed. And she just kept leaning in front of me. And but the reason I bring this up is because that was annoying, and I don't think you should do that. Number one. But number two, they have the squishiest, most awesome foot pads to stand on back there.
Oh, really?
Oh, man. I sort of shift out of her way, and it meant I got to step on her pad. And it's this super soft, like, space age, miraculous pad.
Is it like a little memory gel foam kind of pad?
Yeah, but it went so deep. It was like you're standing on a memory foam mattress.
Oh, see, that almost might be too much.
Oh, it was so nice, Brian. It was like a bounce house or something. It felt so good. I mean, and all I did was put my right foot on it and go, ooh, like that. Kind of like, oh,
I need a little more sturdiness. I can't do I can't do completely
can't be all mushy.
Squishy mat. Yeah, exactly.
Do you feel like you don't have the I don't know, the structure and able to just maintain a good solid stance? Do you feel like you're little...
that's pretty much it. Exactly. Okay. It's like thing I'm looking for? It's like a sturdy platform as opposed to, I mean, if you know, trying to stand on a mattress, for example.
Yeah,
that'd be you're bad. Constantly balancing, and I'm sure it's a great workout for your core, but other than that, it can't be good for you.
No, this thing was so gushy, I felt like I could put a glass of red wine in the corner and then jump
and
up
then
and down
drop
on it.
A bowling ball on
the other side. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was like one of those ads. It was super weird.
Yeah.
All right, so Mendoza sighting, everyone. Oh, hold on. I have a theme for that. I know it's been a while.
You have a Mendoza theme?
Yeah, here you go.
Stop Mendoza.
There you go. That's the Mendoza theme. Or this one. All right, there you go. I haven't seen the Goose in a while. I kind of figured since the big cold hit, he maybe went somewhere else, you know. I didn't know what the Goose... I haven't really paid attention to what that particular genus of that goose does during the winter. We've talked about this before, where when it was starting to get cold, he still hung around. But I finally saw him yesterday, but under the strangest circumstances. I'm walking around the lake. It's cold, and I'm getting nice, like a nice brisk winter, breathe in some cold air ass walk, right? Just felt great. Mm-hmm. I'm out there, and I'm using my phone to film the lake and how frozen it is. And right after I take that video and post it to Instagram, my phone dies because my battery was dead. And I'd forgotten to charge it the night before. So big dumb me. Well, that turns out to be kind of an unfortunate thing, because as I round the corner, I look out into this one part of the lake, and sitting on the ice in the middle of it is Mendoza.
Does he have his cronies with him?
And that's the weird bit. No cronies, no ducks, no other birds of any sort, just him sitting there And I swear to you, and I know sometimes you can look at a painting that, you know, like if you look at a painting with a guy's face and you walk around it, it feels like his eyes are following you. You know,
oh,
that
yeah,
feeling?
Sure.
That may have been what was happening here. But I felt like the goose was watching me the whole time.
Really?
Checking
oh,
me
man,
out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I walked around it and I looked at it and I swear he turned, like rotated, like a Doom enemy sprite. They don't ever, you know, they just face right. you the entire time. It was like that.
Right. Was oh, really, that's hilarious.
It was really weird. So, I even yelled, "Hey," like that, and nothing, no response. In fact, for all I know, he's frozen to death out there, and he's just sitting there. His corpse is just waiting to die. So I don't
you
know.
You think that he would have somehow surmised that your phone was dead and come over and said, "We're miles from where anybody can hear us."
Well, you'd think.
Your precious internet now?
I was super sad I couldn't get a picture of him there because I would love to have shared shorn that. Shorn it? Is that the past tense for shared?
Shorn.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's it.
Shored.
So today I'm going out there again, fully charged phone. I'm going to see if I can track him down and see what's up in the winter with Mendoza. I mean, it was pretty cold, but not that cold. The other night it was as low as 5 degrees. Yesterday it was like 45. It was awesome. Snow was melting. The lake was still frozen, but, you know, it was really nice. So he may just be coming out for that. I don't know. I'll let you guys know. I'll keep you up to date. Here's the thing. Yesterday, I got an email from a listener named Oscar from far, far away, he says. Mm-hmm. He sent us his predictions for us in 2015.
Oh, cool. All right.
So this isn't you and I making predictions about ourselves. This is a listener, pretty
making
sure.
Predictions of us.
Yeah, and it's a bunch okay. of things in and around Frog Pants in general, but you and I are part of a lot of these.
Great.
So I'm going to share these with you.
2015.
He says this. "Hey, Sybil and Basil." Nice reference. Faulty
Great
Towers.
Reference.
I feel like that watching that show.
That would make Daryl Manuel.
Yeah, wouldn't it? He would be Manuel.
He would be Manuel, and your sister would be, or Nicole would be Polly.
Polly, she'd be Polly. Ooh, that's weird, though, because I would be, let's see, wait, who's Sybil, though? I guess that'd be me, because I'm Scott. So you're bad. That means you're married. In real life, you're married to Nicole is what that would mean. Because they were married.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. But you and I pretend we're married.
And Nicole is a witch in a movie. That's the other thing. She was the witch. Geez. Burn the witch! That was her in that. Anyway. I've scried into the back orbs of tomorrow. And I've foreseen some of the events that we will encounter together in the new year. I'll share some of them with you. He says this. Number 8. Kevin Costner reads the N15 Frog Pants All-Stars rules intro. Written on glorious paper. You ever seen paper?
Paper.
Which gives Team Johnson the boost it needs to win the quiz. Only won last year, so why not win again? 7. Scott stops using rad, replaces it with wicked. I don't know, man. I don't know about that one. I think I like rad. I still
like
rad.
Wicked. Wicked. There was a time and a place for wicked. It was when we had skateboards and Huffy bikes.
Yep.
And,
yep. We don't have those anymore, Brian.
No, they do not exist anymore.
No. Nope. Actually, is Huffy a brand still? I wonder if Huffy's are still made.
I think Huffy is still a brand.
Let's
yeah.
see. Huffy Bikes. Huffy Bikes, we make fun, is their slogan.
Mm.
They should put the word cheap in there.
Great. A slogan written by Packlets.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Perfect. Oh, wow. They have a really nice website, actually.
We make fun.
Their website's cool. Oh, way
really?
To go, Huffy. Yeah.
Nice.
We make
Huffy,
fun.
Huffy exploring a little bit of the web 2.0, are they?
Mm-hmm. They got girl bikes and boy bikes. Of course, boy bikes have the place to rack your nuts, and the girl bikes don't, right. which makes no sense to me.
Right.
Wouldn't it be the other way? I don't get it.
You would think, yeah.
Anyway, he goes on to say, number 6, the discussion gets heated on FilmSack after the quartet view the much-disputed film Toy Story 4. Smiles of warm and its powerful symbol... What?
Similes of water.
Oh, similes. Sorry, those smiles. Similes of water and its powerful symbolic use thrown carelessly around. All right, we get your point.
Yeah. Toy Story 4, so we're gonna the movie hasn't even come out yet. How's it going to be streaming?
Yeah, good point. It won't be. Well, maybe he has bold predictions about the way media is delivered to consumers this year.
Maybe. Okay.
How about this
All
one?
Right.
Brian Ibbett, number 5. Brian Ibbett gets rushed to the ER. Ugh, I don't like this so far. Wearing a straw skirt and a coconut bra after a failed challenge video. Brian makes a full recovery, but is also informed by doctors that increased hair growth is to be expected on the right side of his head.
Just on the right side.
That's pretty good.
All right, fine.
I like that one. For a sleep-rattled cowboy's call-in expecting twins. A sleep-rattled cowboy calls in expecting twins.
Yeah, cowboy.
Oh, cowboy. He spelled cowboy. It like a regular cowboy. That's why.
Right. No, you need to spell with an I. Yep.
Yeah. Three, a new Overwatch Frog Pants show takes the internet by storm, hosted by Scott Johnson and Garrett Weinzierl. I don't know about that. I'm still not sure that a shooter deserves an entire show. I'm not sure about
that. Oh, it's more than a shooter. You know you want to do a show for Overwatch.
Is it, though? What is it? What's more about it?
Well, it's like a...
It looks like it's going to be an amazing shooter. Don't get me wrong, but...
It's not just a shooter, though. I mean, it's a team-based...
Shooter.
Shooter. First-person shooter.
Uh-huh.
But there's so many new elements to it. I mean, you wouldn't be able to do one of these for, like, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. But because there are all these different characters and different strategies... I think that you could do a 12-episode arc on Overwatch.
Maybe. Oh, well, maybe that, yeah. Like a short, like a single season, small episode thing, yes, maybe.
Right, exactly.
But like an ongoing 400-episode thing, no, not a chance.
Well, who knows? But plan on 12. Just say, you know what, we're going to do 12. We're going to see how 12 goes. I mean, you know, this is your MO. You do this.
Yeah, by the time you get to the number 12, though, you're like, all right, dude, shoot stuff, shoot some things.
Well, how many? There are 12 different characters you can play, right? 12 different flavors
that they've announced. But according to the big poster that they that they have, there's dozens more. So, I think this is what I believe their plan will be. This is my guess. Free to play. All the characters we've seen so far will be playable, and there will be a bunch you can pay for to unlock. That's what I think is going to happen. Like they do with their deal over there that. The Heroes of the Storm deal. Same thing. Same idea. Buy your characters, play the basic stuff that's there. That's what they'll do. It'll be free to play. Freemium, as they call it, as the kids call it. Number two, Batman the Bird Returns as one of Mendoza's goons. Great. There you go. And then finally, Scott rewatches all of the West Wing. You're not probably wrong on that. I actually am kind of having an itch for it.
Wow. Yeah. So many things to binge watch. Yeah. I have a hard time going back to something else.
It's hard, but... West Wing.
I do throw in an episode of Lost every once in a while. Like, what'll happen is I'll throw in the soundtrack and I'll listen and be like, oh, I want to watch a little bit of season two.
I want to see them bury Paulo and Nikki.
I want to watch the expose episode one more time.
Just once more.
Would that be okay?
He says, fart the hinder, though. Oscar from far, far away. I'm guessing he's in Sweden. So there you have it. All right. Well, good fun. If you guys have your own predictions about us, send them in. We're going to add Daryl to this call and get that meat wagon going.
All right.
Skype's all confusing now. Oh, great. He has a new avatar of the cat. Okay, great. Let's see here. What are we doing? We got Daryl's theme. It goes a little something like this. It is Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by...
Greg, a high school classmate, has been diagnosed with a chronic inflammatory disorder called neurosarcoidosis. Boy, I want to put an oy in that second one.
Yeah.
Sarcoidosis. And his wife Rita set up a donation page at GoFundMe. After 2 months, it stalled, and they still have a long way to go. I'm reaching out to you and the listeners to see if together we can help them hit their goal. Their donation page is at GoFundMe.com/niceguysdowin.
Nice guys do win. Got it.
Thanks and scrub the flow, Joe. Signed, Joe Keg.
Nice. Daryl, you on the line here?
Oh, yes.
You ever take do one of those Unisom pills? You ever have one of those to go to sleep? You ever try that?
No, I don't think I ever have had one of those.
Brian, you ever have one of those?
Unisoms, no, but I have taken other sleep aids. There's a natural one that we use right now that I kind of like. Calms Forte is what it's called.
Calms Forte. Wow.
Calms Forte.
Does it work?
It does work. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like vitamins and herbs and stuff. So it's supposed to be non-habit forming and better for you.
All right. I'm going to take a look here. Oh yeah, there they are. Amazon has them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I took a Unisom last night, and those are basically concentrated versions of the stuff in Benadryl that makes you tired.
Okay.
So the part of Benadryl they warn you about, like, may cause drowsiness. That's what this is, except more of that. So it's not supposed to be habit forming and all that other crap. But man, it turns me into a slog. Like the next morning, I just feel like right now, I just feel like a wet blanket. Just kind of.
Yeah, that is tough because.
But I couldn't sleep, so I had to take something. I had to do something.
That's a problem with NyQuil too.
Yeah, same feeling. Mm-hmm. That's probably the same stuff for all I know. Well, that's alcohol probably. And then something else. I don't know what all.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm convinced that human beings don't know how to make a proper sleep aid. We just aren't good at this yet. And all of it's kind of crap. The over-the-counter stuff either doesn't work. Like somebody gave me melatonin gummy bears. They don't do shite. They don't do anything. They just taste like gummy bears, and I'm still kind of wide awake going, oh, that was fine. But there's supposed to be enough melatonin in those gummy bears to put you to sleep. This is stupid. So for whatever reason, that doesn't work on me. The only thing that really, I mean, this stuff works. Take a Unisom. It's like an old man's pill. I remember when I was a kid, they had commercials for like old people taking Unisom, right?
Right, right. It was the little pill rocking back and forth.
Yes, the little stop motion little pill. Exactly.
Little metronome.
In fact, I should find an ad for it. But they put you out. There's no question. It's a Unisom commercial. Here we go. Let's find an old one. Okay. 2000. No, I don't want new ones. Why would I want a new one? I want an old one. Okay, here you go. 1988. Nope. 84. Even better. 84. Here you go.
When the night seems endless and you feel alone, like the only person in the world who can't fall asleep, it's time for Unisom. Time to fall asleep faster. Unisom, America's number one sleep aid. In medical tests, people fell asleep faster.
There's a little pill.
An average of 23 minutes faster than without Unisom.
All right, so.
Oh my God, it's like.
It's so dark.
Like a horror movie, right?
It's really dark. But see, that's kind of how I feel when I get up. I feel like the guy in the commercial when I get up from it, not when I need it. Like when I need it, I'm just irritated. Like, I wish I could sleep. Ah, this book's not putting me to sleep. This show's going to keep me up. Blah, blah, blah. I take one of these, bonk, I'm out. Wake up at 7 just going, what? Who? Him, where? I hate it. I hate the feeling. Anyway, I don't know why I brought all that up, but I did. So there you have it. Daryl, what's going on? How you doing?
I'm good.
Breaking Bad. You're loving
yes,
it.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. That's all I hear about from Daryl now is Breaking Bad.
No, it's exactly. It's like our text messages are, oh, well, how this is so funny. Mm. The new comedy sensation, Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm. It's Daryl's West Wing. Although I think tonally it's funny because you are taking the shocking, tragic moments as comedy, mm-hmm. which is really funny to me.
What does that say about
me? I don't know what that says about you, but I think it's really funny. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this thing happened. And I'm thinking, that was really harsh in the book, and you're like, or in the show, and you're just laughing at it, thinks it's the funniest thing ever. So I'm enjoying reliving the Breaking Bad experience through your weird observations. So keep that coming. Daryl's the Trek nerd. He has Trek questions to answer. Today is his chance to keep his 2015 winning streak at 100%. Let's see how he does. By the way, we have a prediction from Mitzula. He says next Wednesday will be the day you fail.
Or does that mean today?
No, he means next week.
He was saying you're gonna hit 7 mm-hmm. before the crash.
Yeah, we asked yesterday for his expert gambler's opinion, and that's what he says. So today, no pressure. Let's see if you can hold out until next Wednesday at least, or beat his prediction. In the Next Generation episode, Unification Part 1, Sarek is dying and Spock has gone missing. Sarek's wife, Perrin, comes aboard the Enterprise to talk about Spock and his possible defection to the Romulans. Oh, I remember this. Picard gives her some tea. What kind of tea does he give? Was it A, Earl Grey, B, Mint, C, Darjeeling, or D, Chamomile? So those are your options. Earl Grey tea, Mint tea, Darjeeling tea, or chamomile tea, which also
Earl Grey,
supposed to
hot mint about lukewarm Darjeeling, 79 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yes, chamomile,
ice cold.
It's the only way to take it. That stuff's supposed to put you to sleep too, and that doesn't work on me either. I've tried that. Yeah, I have something called sleepy time tea. That's like some combo of that and like 5 other ingredients. They're supposed to make you tired.
It's, made here by the Celestial Seasonings Company.
Just
up the road in Boulder, Colorado.
They don't work for me either. Those things. Wow. I don't know what the deal is. Unisom's all that puts me to sleep and that makes me feel like a piece of shit the next day.
I just take ibuprofen and that works pretty well.
Ibuprofen, really?
Really? Yeah. That puts you to sleep?
Yeah.
It's usually not like a sleepy thing.
Well, it is an anti-inflammatory.
It's more of a relaxing thing.
Yeah. It's anti-inflammatory, so in theory it would relax your muscles and things. Yeah. I could see that, but I'm not allowed to take that anymore, at least not until I get my test, so I can't even take that.
Oh, wow.
Because that's really hard on your stomach stuff, so you have to take nothing but Tylenol. Oh, and have I mentioned? Tylenol does jack shite for me. Does nothing. I can take 3 Tylenol, maximum strength, whatever, if I have a headache. Doesn't matter. Doesn't even touch it.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, ibuprofen does, but I can't take that anymore. So
I don't know why I didn't take when I fell and I was in pain. Why didn't I take any aspirin or ibuprofen?
Yeah,
or
ibuprofen is what you should have done right away. Yeah. That would have slowed the inflammation you're about to get. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun for you. It's going to be fun for you. Good experience. All right, Daryl, those are your possible answers. Let's now turn our attention to this tab of my soundboard and play these.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Lots of foodie.
We have the box from the Bitcoin fantasy coin dude. And,
oh, yeah.
I don't have that big of a preference, but if I were to pick one, I'd say we should really try this. Ju for Nosun, whatever it is, grilled barbecue ribbed flavored popcorn.
The other package that is so inflated,
mm-hmm.
It could explode at any moment.
Yeah.
I think chat room is the biggest.
I haven't refrigerated the other items in here. I need to do that.
I keep forgetting that too. I'm dying to try these. I don't know why.
Ah.
It says they're only available at 7-Eleven here. Oh, be careful, Brian.
Yeah, I know. It's turning and.
I just realized you're.
I know. Twist to get the box. It would be worse if the box is on my left side. Like turning to my left hurts way more than to my right.
Mm. Oh, it looks like if you like their Facebook page, which I can't read any of that on the back, but if you like their Facebook page, they'll give some money to some charity. So that's cool.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Yeah. Oh, what's the charity? It says here, people who choked on barbecue rib flavored popcorn. Great. All right, well, I'm going to open this. I'm afraid, again, this is going to explode, but here we go.
Why isn't this just barbecue-flavored popcorn? Why is it? Is it meat-flavored?
Well,
yeah, it must be.
Barbecue ribs flavor, it says. I guess so, yeah. I need scissors again. This is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I had to use an X-Acto knife to delicately cut into the bag, in which this expanse of air that came out is like...
it's a little weird.
Like it I just walked weird. Into a... McDonald's on McRib Day.
Yeah. It's popcorny, though, too.
I don't know. I'm undecided about that.
It's good fiber for you, though.
So much for opening that in a pleasant...
pleasant way?
Pleasant way.
Okay. Oh, they're soft.
Oh, you already eating one? All
right. Good.
Oh, yeah.
These are good.
It's not bad at all.
My daughter would hate them because they taste like meat.
It probably has meat in it.
Like, ew, gross. Let's see.
I'm unsure.
You can't read any of that?
No, that's all gibberish.
Let me give one to the dog. She loves popcorn. She loves meat. She should...
She should be in heaven. Mm-hmm. Two of her favorite things.
I feel like if I eat one more than one of these, I'll have a stomach ache.
Really? Because you don't do well with meat anyway.
No.
You're a closet. Maybe you're a closet vegetarian. You just don't know it. Can you eat, turkey and stuff? You do turkey, right?
Yeah, turkey and chicken and fish. None of that bothers me.
Just beefy beef.
Yeah, then it's like I ate a brick.
How about...
It goes down there and does bad things.
How about pork?
No pork.
Mm. You're like, maybe you're just Jewish or something. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
All right, I really like these. I need to move them away from me. They're really good.
Yeah.
Ah, it's really good. All right.
Did you finish all your pill pockets from yesterday?
No. I ate two more and threw it away. I decided I didn't think those looked like they were a thing that my body would want.
Good pill pockets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Little dog pill pockets. All right, back to the thing. I feel like these are not good, though. If you're trying to get a date, don't eat these before you breathe on your girlfriend. Because, whew, these are nasty smell. Tastes good, though. Oh. All right, I'm going to go like their Facebook page.
I'm going to dislike it.
You're taking
money away.
all right. So, Daryl, back to you. Birthdays. We got any?
Yes, we do. Oh, it's Gene El Coon, who is a... What am I grabbing here? Is a producer on Star Trek on TOS. He was a producer and writer, and he passed away at age 49 in 1973.
What's up with that? It's like the ESPN guy that just died. He was only... he was 49 also. Popular, what do you call those guys? what are they called? The sportscaster guy for ESPN died of a long battle with freaking cancer. Screw cancer, dude. Oh, and you know what I read yesterday? It kind of, it depends on how you look at it. Okay, here's a glass half empty, half full thing for Brian. Because you're pretty good at seeing the positive in things, right?
Sure.
Okay.
I try to, yeah.
All right. Saw this article. It says, what we now know about cancer may surprise you. Blah, 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 whatever. Link bait, right? So I go in there. And here's what it said or claimed. And doctors and interns and those who listen to the show who often write in about these things, feel free if I get any of this wrong or if this sounds weird or if you dispute the findings of the study. But the study basically says that 2/3 of cancer cases, like full 2/3, you can account for them via luck. Pure luck. That's it. If a cell divided and mutated in the wrong way, just bad luck. That's 2/3 of cancers. The only...
Yeah, like Walter White.
Yeah, the other third is accounted for by environmental stuff like smoking, you know, health stuff, whatever, bad air, and your and genetics. So your you know, it runs in your family.
I guess that makes sense. I mean, it's, you know, if you always got cancer every time you smoked, people wouldn't smoke. So it is the luck. It's the flip of the coin. It's the risk. And just life itself is a risk that you could develop something like that.
Yeah, and that's the two. But the surprising thing is that the 2/3 is the life itself and not these other factors, which are known to be causes of cancer, which, you know, smoking is known to be a huge increase in, say, lung cancer. Like, that's a verified fact. So the other the 2/3 of people who are just living right, healthy, running, doing all their stuff, no genetics, no environmental factors, boom. Suddenly they have cancer. It's just pure dumb luck. And part of me is like, oh, I don't like that. That's a random thing. And part of me is like, hey, that's kind of good that it's random, because then it means that you don't have to run around making sure that every blueberry you buy doesn't have a certain GMO in it or whatever, that 9 times out of 10 you're freaking out about nothing, and that it's just dumb luck if you ever got, you know, the wrong cell divided one day. Anyway, it's interesting stuff.
No, that makes sense.
All right, well, happy birthday to that guy. As we revel in death and horribleness here. And of course, Daryl found...
That's not funny. I shouldn't laugh.
No, but like most of Breaking Bad, Daryl's laughing at. All right, so let's get back to your question. This is a question about teas. There are 4 possible answers. Which tea did he recommend giving to Sarek's or Spock's mom? Was it E... Or I guess it's not Spock's mom. It was Spock's stepmom. Anyway, Earl Grey tea, mint tea, Darjeeling tea, or chamomile tea.
You're not my mother.
You're not my mother. It is illogical for me to like you as a mother. There you go.
You can't tell me what to do.
But that's only, he only gets that mad when it's during like Spock puberty or whatever they used to call
it. Right, Ponfar or whatever it is.
Yeah. All right, Daryl, what do you say? What do you think?
Well, I'm going to use my...
phone a friend?
No. I'm going to consult my little chart here for... Star Trek herb or actual herb.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Because these are teas here we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, which are herbs.
Yes. And if you will remember, the last question of last year was one of these. It was Vulcan mint, real or Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And it was Star Trek, and it was from this episode. It was Vulcan mint.
Vulcan mint tea. Wow. Look at you coming all the way around. Did you, by the way, hear who's directing the new Star Trek movie? They picked a dude.
Yeah, yeah. The Fast and Furious guy.
Yeah, the guy that does most of the Fast and the Furious movies.
Oh, really?
I think I'm okay with that. His sense of action is really good. And if they're going to keep Star Trek very action-y, which I know Daryl doesn't necessarily love, but it seems like if that's the road they want to stay on, then this is a decent pick. He's all right.
So if they're continuing with the kind of direction they're going, it's going to be the Fast and Furious search for Spock?
Basically, yeah. That sounds about right. Yeah, I'm trying to look at some of his other stuff that we may know here. Yeah, it's all action-y stuff, and it looks like the Fast and the Furious series is his big claim to fame. And he's also tapped to direct the new Bourne sequel. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that guy's got some chops.
Story first, though. If they get a good story, I think.
Yeah, of course.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be okay. And you could actually argue that some of those Fast and the Furious movies actually have a pretty decent story. I mean, it's all kind of ridiculous, but they're not mindless. They're, you know, I'd take him over any Transformer movie any day.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, well, let's find out if you're correct about the mint tea question. Is it mint tea, judges?
Congratulations.
He stays on top.
You're a winner.
No loss means 2015 is the perfect year for you so far. Gives her a cup of mint tea, tells him that on Vulcan they have something they call mint tea, that it's nothing like the kind of mint tea we know. Picard also asks her about Spock's disappearance. Here's a clip of that going down right here.
Mint tea. It's been years since I've had any. Vulcans have some kind of strange concoction they call mint. You'd never recognize it.
Perrin, do you know why I've come to Vulcan? I must talk to you about Spock.
He didn't even say goodbye to his father before he left.
Is it possible he could have been abducted?
No. He wrapped up all of his affairs carefully. He knew he was going.
Do you have any idea why he might have disappeared like this?
Captain, as far as I'm concerned, he disappeared a long time ago.
She's not very good in that. That's bad
Let's
acting.
Let's talk more about mint.
Yes, it is something you would never recognize.
I like mint, 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 mint. Drinking my mint.
Good times. All right, Daryl, good job. You've done it. And that's because you're the Trek Nerd. Also on Twitter as the Trek Nerd. You can also find him at This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And you can follow him on Twitter to hear about all his Breaking Bad exploits. All right, Daryl, tell us more or give us a game. Give us a game.
I will give you a Star Trek herb or an actual herb once again.
Okay, once again, let's get us a good theme for this one. How about this one?
This time, we will enter Swedish.
Okay.
This is the type of meatball we are looking for.
Swedish.
All right, real herb, Star Trek herb, go.
Mako root.
Mako root is a real root. That is a real herb.
You're familiar with the Mako root?
Pretty sure Kim puts Mako root in her Chinese chicken salad.
Is that how you grow Chinese actors from the 80s who appeared in the Conan the Barbarian movie?
Yeah, the Mako route. They start with that.
Mako.
And then out comes actor Tommy Chong.
Mako.
Mako. Mako, yeah, Mako. All right, Daryl, we say real route.
Well, your wife must be serving this to you because you've been bitten by the Mogato, the white-horned ape that once attacked Captain Kirk.
What? Oh, no. Are you kidding? Are you sure there's not a real one, though? Like, also a real one? Hold on now.
Did you do the research on making sure there's no real Mako root?
Mako root.
It must be spelled weird if there is.
Memory Alpha Star Trek. Hold on. How to root your Nexus for. All right. You know what? You're right. Damn it,
stay away
dude.
From those apes.
Nice job. Daryl stumped us. Shoot. I was sure that something. I got to ask her now what she uses because I swear she's mentioned that 100 times. Ugh. Now I feel like a great big dummy. A great big dummy. I can't find my thing. Where is it? Here it is.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news brought to you by
the President of the Illuminati. What really happened in the 2000 election? We invite you to discover Al Gore's dark nautical secrets. It's the Illuminati President podcast. Listen now, IlluminatiPresident.com.
I can't stop eating this meat popcorn.
Meat corn.
So good. Okay. Enough of that. Middle-aged people. I guess you and I are that now.
We're middle-aged people, yeah.
Because, because if we live to 80, we're right in the middle.
Right.
Middle-aged men and women are more likely to die from drinking than students.
So middle-aged people are more likely to die from drinking than to die from students?
Yeah, like a bit. That headline sucks now that you say that. More likely to die from drinking than students. Yeah, that can go either way, couldn't it?
Yeah.
That's a bad sentence.
I knew a guy who died from students.
Those students were never held to account. Middle-aged Americans are far more likely to die from alcohol poisoning than college students, belying the notion that drinking or binge drinking mostly plagues younger adults. 3/4 of alcohol poisoning deaths occur in people ages 35 to 64. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention said Tuesday, or today in a report, here's the funny thing, the Center for Disease Control and Prevention That's just got one guy working there, right? I mean, if
exactly. We've seen that. It's Truman's friend.
Yeah, Truman's buddy is just running the joint and is pretty suicidal, it turns out. Anyway, most of the deaths are among men and non-Hispanic whites. Hold on. Non-Hispanic whites. What does that mean?
So white people that are not Hispanic, like...
But wouldn't they not be white?
Europeans and Asian... Well, I guess... Are Asians? Probably not. No. I don't know.
I don't know what that means. Non-Hispanic whites. That's like saying... Are there some Hispanic whites?
I guess it's just saying Caucasians.
Yeah, but wouldn't you say, then why have the non-Hispanic in there? Why not just say white people or Caucasian people?
Yeah,
that's weird. That's weird to me. Anyway, quote, look at me trying to find racism in this article.
They saw white people.
Yeah. This study shows that alcohol poisoning deaths are not just a problem among young people, says Robert Brewer, the CDC's alcohol. I love that his name is Brewer. His last name is Brewer.
That is really funny now that you pointed out.
He's leading the alcohol program. He said it also emphasized the importance of taking a comprehensive approach to reducing binge drinking regardless of age. So there you go. We're here to inform you, folks. That's our job.
If family, you're old, don't drink.
A family of Sasquatches in Arizona was a joke, officials say.
Oh, no. Was it real?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I'm shocked. A photo posted on Facebook depicting what Arizona officials said may have been a family of Sasquatches, attracting hundreds of comments from skeptics and believers alike, turned out to be a joke, authorities said on Monday. The Arizona Department of Transportation, or the TADOT. So there's no mystery.
We have C-DOT here in Colorado.
We have U-DOT here in Utah.
So it's probably A-DOT in Arizona.
Probably A-DOT, yeah. That makes sense. It's not as cool as U-DOT or C-DOT. Those are cooler.
No. A-DOT.
This guy says there's no mystery about the image of several dark objects taken by the state traffic camera and posted on New Year's Day for all to spin theories about. We were just having a bit of fun, department spokesman Tim Tate said. People don't expect government to have a sense of humor, and we definitely have one. Officials put out the prank into motion with a post that wondered aloud about the objects around the side of the road amid the snowy landscape. We might have spotted a family of Sasquatches on the SR 260 near Herber. Herber! Herber. What do you think? The entry said. As of late Monday, it drew more than 2,100 likes and was shared by more than 3,000 people. About 750 chose to offer comments, ranging from saying they always knew the mysterious beast existed to those who welcomed the joke. It's funny because there are probably still people, Brian. This is what I love. This is what I love about this. Mm-hmm. I guarantee there are people now who saw this and believe it, that it's Bigfoot, and saw it as validation of what they've always believed. And then now I've heard that the little government dudes were playing a little joke and now have decided to take that conspiracy further and say that they're now covering it up. They're saying it's a joke, but it's not. That's right, now they're covering up that those were Sasquatches.
The government told them to put the kibosh on that. So
yeah.
I have to pretend it was a joke now.
I've got to get to a place where I can just laugh at that kind of behavior and not be so irritated by it, because it drives me crazy. That kind of thinking, I can't deal with it.
So I had to look at the link, because I wasn't sure if ADOT, you know, put a fake picture up there and said, oh, it looks like a bunch of Sasquatches. But they really just, it was just a really blurry shot of the side of the road with about five dark objects.
Could be anything. Wood.
Yeah.
Tree fragments.
Really effective cameras there, ADOT.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's what the real question we should be asking. It's like, how good are your security street or road cameras? I don't know. I just, you know, it's like when people say, that person said something to offend me, I demanded an apology. Then they give them an apology, and then that's not good enough. That's what people do. And I hate it. I can't stand it. I'll tell you what I can't stand. Okay. Our friends at HelloFresh.com. If you want to make cooking fun again, well, by gum, have I got a deal for you. Go to HelloFresh.com. I'm going to go right now. I'm going to take my own advice, and I'm going to see what's on deck this week. Here we go. Our recipes this week. Ooh, their website updated. Ooh, very nice. Big food photos now. Anyway, they got the classic box menu for the week of January 5th. What have we here? Balsamic chicken breasts, balsamic vinegar potatoes, grape tomatoes, garlic, baby carrots, honey, and onion, sent to you in farm fresh ingredient style right to your door. How about seared steak? Oh man, how about it? Ooh. Oh, that sounds good.
Sounds really good.
Shrimp and chorizo stew. Or as Randy would say, chorizo.
Chorizo.
Roasted pork chops. And of course, the forbidden rice salad, which sounds really good. My wife has a big box of forbidden rice. It's really? Like black rice. Yeah, it's weird.
Like it's a thing really called forbidden rice?
Yeah. Isn't that weird? There's probably some story like in the Ming Dynasty, you are not allowed to eat that rice or something. Who knows?
Wow.
All of this can become your next awesome meal. To your door, farm fresh, ready to cook, 30 minutes or less. Boom, you're a big hero. And if you've not used them before, use this code at checkout for 50% off for first-time customers. That's MorningStream. MorningStream at checkout for first-timers. That's at HelloFresh.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
the Pop Culture Palette Podcast. Join musician-illustrator Jason Robbins, comic book artist Steve Scott, and writer-comedian Wally Phelps as they discuss pop culture, interview industry insiders, celebrity guests, artists, writers, and fellow podcasters. Recently, on episode 33, they interviewed none other than Coverville himself, Brian Ibott. Ibbott.
Never heard of that guy. Yeah. I think it's Ibbott,
It's a bit. With over 30 years combined experience in the entertainment industry, this is one podcast you don't want to miss. Visit us at popculturepalette.blogspot.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/popculturepalette and at PCP Show. The PCP Show, that's a whole different thing, on Twitter.
All right.
Excelsior, by the way, when you're spelling that, it's palette as in the palette you taste with, not the palette that you paint from.
Or that you move things around on.
Oh, right. That's a whole different palette. Yeah, yes, exactly.
Three palettes.
But that was a fun show to do. Those guys are great.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Go check that episode out.
Justin Bieber, Behieber, by Bieber.
Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
The J-Bibes.
Yeah, the J-Bibes. He is now a Calvin Klein model. Got a new job. He says this on his Twitter. He says, officially a part of the legacy. Check out Calvin Klein for more.
The legacy of Calvin Klein.
He says he's the new face of Calvin Klein. This is just the start of the year for hashtag my Calvins, hashtag be all you can be, hashtag learn from your faults, hashtag rise to success, hashtag don't be ashamed.
Redeem.
Redeem. And hashtag the best is yet to come with a number two in it.
Ooh.
Holy Look crap. At him.
It is unleashing of all those hashtags.
Oh, man. I mean, I didn't like him before, but now I'm starting to, I think I've changed. I've made a turn.
Exactly. It's like, wow, this guy on the fly came up with all of those hashtags, and they're brilliant hashtags, and we all should bow before the majesty of Justin Bieber.
I agree, dude. You've never said anything better than that. I am with you. So I've got this reminds me of an Instagram post I did yesterday. Of a photo, a close-up photo of a 17 magazine cover that for some reason we got in the mail. We don't know why because we don't subscribe to it. Right. But it says...
this delivery.
here's the you know, they have the little headings like 20 best ways to get better makeup or, you know, all that kind of crap.
Right.
This one says, crush it at school with guys and on Insta.
Oh, no.
On
so Instagram
Insta.
Is now too,
yeah, but it's,
too many syllables to say.
I hate
on
it.
Insta.
I hate it. I know I'm not their demographic. I know. But come on. Do we have to say Insta? I hate that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bieber, age 20, poses alongside model Laura Stone for a new Calvin Klein ads or Calvin Klein jeans and Calvin Klein underwear campaign. It's been a busy year for the singer. Recently revealed he injured his foot. Broke my damn foot, he says, along with a photo of his swollen ankle.
Mm.
Great.
Gosh, wonder if he was... wonder if he was kicking a brick wall, doing a hashtag kick the wall.
Kick the wall. Hurt real bad is the hashtag.
Breaking barriers. Ow, my foot.
All right. Well, there's that. Oh, Scott, quit eating this popcorn. Seriously. So good. Finally, in the news here, in the celebrity news, before we take a break, Fox sets release dates for Gambit, Assassin's Creed, and the next Planet of the Apes. You know we're getting a new Gambit. We knew about that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Got your 21 Jump Street guy in it. What's his name?
Yeah.
Tatum Channing.
Tatum.
Yeah.
What was wrong with Taylor Kitsch? Could we not have kept Taylor Kitsch in that role?
Good question. I don't know if his star kind of took a dip after that Mars movie tanked.
The John Carter thing. Yeah.
I don't know. I think Taylor Kitsch was fine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mind him. Maybe he doesn't have the range for, because that was a real small part in that movie. So maybe he doesn't have the range for it. I don't know. But
I would have wanted Matthew McConaughey's Gambit.
Oh my gosh, that's a great idea.
It wouldn't that have been awesome?
Would have been. It's a missed opportunity. It's about 10 years too late, but yes.
It is. Well, you know, he could play. Look, if Michael Douglas can play an old Hank Pym, Matthew McConaughey can play a slightly older Remy LeBeau.
Yeah, I'd be all right with it.
Mon cher. All right.
He could totally do it.
Rogue keeps getting older. I keep staying the same age.
What the hell? This is a solo project for Gambit Films starring Channing Tatum, as well as sequels to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and Fantastic Four. I still think that Apes movie this year was incredible. It makes my top 10 of the year, for sure. I loved it. Yeah. Gambit will hit theaters October 7th, 2016. So we got another year and a half for that. Marking the third X-Men film to release that year. Got X-Men Apocalypse and the follow-up to last year's Days of Future Past. Those will be on the 27th. That will be on the 27th. While Deadpool is expected to debut sometime in February, so watch for that.
So we're only a year away, a little over a year away from a Deadpool movie.
Yeah,
from the Deadpool movie.
It's a real test for them, I think, to see how that goes.
See, okay, well, I guess now that we think about this, if they were to keep the continuity of the X-Men Origins Deadpool, the X-Men Origins Gambit, would they have to keep the continuity of the X-Men Origins Deadpool? And I think if you're gonna, if you're gonna pull Taylor Kitsch out of that role, you got to take out the mouth sewed shut.
That was so dumb. What were they doing?
Is Fox just saying, "Hey, look, we can play with your toys, and we're not gonna take very good care of them"?
Just freaking Origins in general was so bad.
Yeah, really was.
Well, there you go. I like the Roger Rabbit claws, though. Those are pretty good.
I was wondering if you were going to bring that up.
Yeah, I hate those. Our friends at Squarespace.com are sponsoring today's program. They are awesome. You want to make a website. You're thinking, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to make one. Well, Scott, you'd say, what do I do? And I'd say, well, dear listener, go to Squarespace.com and try out their free trial first. No credit card required. It's absolutely free. Go check it out. Get in there. Mess around. Play with those tools and those templates. They've just released an update to the entire system. And it's pretty awesome. You go in there, play around a little bit, build what you want to build, and then do what I did, which is go stand back a bit and go, whoa, I just did this? No way. I want this in my life. Well, then I want to save you some money. 10% off your order using the code MORNINGSTREAM. That's MORNINGSTREAM when you decide to stay for 10% off. And they're awesome. Looks good on mobile, looks good on desktop, looks good everywhere. Just ask my daughter. Her whole photography website is all based on Squarespace, and she loves it. That's 10% off using the code MORNINGSTREAM at squarespace.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's Recommendals, it's Tom's Tech Time, and more. Brian, you got music for me?
I do. How about a song going out to Chloe from Austin? It says, "Dear Shortline and Branchline, on September 20th, I was given the honor of giving the eulogy at my grandfather's funeral. There were a lot of great stories about him, but there's one in particular that I felt I could only share with TMS. Last year, during a visit, my grandfather drove his wheelchair into the living room where a number of family members were talking. A minute or two later, I received a text message from my mother, who was sitting next to me. It said that my grandfather, her father-in-law, should sit like a lady, meaning keeping his knees together. I looked over at him and immediately noticed that half of his sack was hanging out of his shorts. Thanks to TMS, I was able to text her back and inform her that the technical term for that is sneaky nuts.
Yep, sneaky nuts.
There's nothing quite like two people barely holding in their laughter while the rest of the room wonders what's so funny.
Amazing.
I'd like to dedicate a song to my pa, specifically something about trains, since he worked as a mechanic on the railroad for 42 years. If Brian can't find a good train song, then maybe a cover of or by a train would work okay too. No, it wouldn't. Don't even suggest that. Boxcar Full of Hobos, Chloe from Austin.
Nice. One of my favorite emails. That's awesome.
That was great. So a song about trains. Now, this is a cool one because there's a great story behind it. Back in the South in the early 1900s, a traditional song was written that talked about this light that would come in where the prisoners were staying. So there was a prison that was right by a set of train tracks.
Yeah.
And every night at the same time, this light would come from the front of the train and shine through the bars of the cells on one side of the jailhouse, one side of the prison, and cast its light on the walls of the cells.
All right.
So this song was written. It was popularized by the band Lead Belly, covered by bands like Creedence Clearwater Revival and more. The song is The Midnight Special.
All right. Well, let's play it.
It was the Midnight, the train was the Midnight Special. Cover here by Van Morrison, Lonnie Donegan, Chris Barber for a live concert they recorded in Belfast in 2008, I want to say, called the Skiffle Sessions. Both all three of those artists started out doing skiffle music in the UK. And here is their cover of Midnight Special.
I want to hear about skiffle after the break.
Okay.
I don't even know what the hell that is. All right, here it is. It's a Midnight Special. We'll be back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Well, you wake up in the morning when the ding-dong rings.
Ding-a-ding-ding.
Go over to the table. See the same old thing. Table, nothing in my pan. So the only thing about it, I get in trouble with the man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me.
If you ever go to Houston, boy, you better walk right. You better not stag on, and you better not fight. Oh, the sheriff gonna arrest you. Gonna carry you down. And if the jury find you guilty, your penitentiary bound.
But let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a little light on me.
Let the midnight special
shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a little light on me. You're the Columbus Rosie. Paper in my hand,
yeah,
she's gonna tell a joke that you're trying to lose her man. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a little up a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a light on me. Let the midnight special shine a little.
Yes, when Tommy went to school this morning, he left his room a mess. But now, everything is neat and straight. Now, how do you suppose that happens? And that's not all. Yesterday, Tommy tore the sleeve of his favorite cowboy shirt, and now it's mended as good as new. And this jacket had a button off. Now there's a new button. And you know, things of that sort don't happen just in Tommy's room. They happen all over the house.
I'm not Jill.
Ladies, we heard you. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. Hello, welcome back. Boy, Tommy's really confused about how this room's staying so clean and the house is so clean. He just doesn't understand. All right, tell me what's the name of that music again? What'd you call it?
Skiffle. So that's a style of music that originated in old America and the UK. Like you can trace it back to both sides of things. Sorry, the cat is going nuts over the beef popcorn. the ribs popcorn. No, get over it. Where am I going to hide this thing? I'm sitting down so she has access to me.
You can do it like me and hide it in your gut. That's right.
Yeah, it should be like, there we go. I think she's given up on it. So skiffle is like handmade instruments like washboards and jugs, like jug bands and stuff.
Oh, all right.
Lennon and McCartney both started out playing skiffle music, though, when they were before they formed the Beatles, before they formed the Quarrymen. And it's like a kind of like a lively shuffling, kind of thing.
Wow. Never even heard of it till now.
It's fun stuff.
I know the type, you know, like I think I knew what it was before I knew what it was called.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. Now you know.
Now I know. We're going to call Nicole now. That's what we're going to do. There's Nicole. Your camera dipping down again.
Well, I moved it down so people could see the cat on my desk going for the popcorn. But
that's so funny.
Now she's eating my to-do list.
Well, that's what you get.
Stop it.
A little to-do list eating. Oh, looky here, everybody. It's Nicole Spag on the line. Hello, Nicole.
Hey, it's me.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah, doing okay. Boy, Justin sure couldn't say enough about your sweet pad yesterday. He was going on and on about how you guys could be on Cribs.
Oh.
Out there in Surprise, Arizona.
Now? Yeah. He was here like a month ago.
Yeah, that's what he said. Well, we haven't talked to him in like 2 weeks, and he just he brought it up kind
of
randomly.
Because of all the holidays.
Sure. Oh, that was a nice sound.
Sorry, I think that was my Facebook. I'm sorry. Let me kill that.
Facebook.
Facebook.
Is there anything it can't do? Well, it's time for Nicole's Recommendals. She comes on the show every Wednesday, and we talk about recommendations, and we have themes sometimes, and I'm pretty stoked about today's theme, but
we always have themes now.
Well, we always do. It's pretty much all we do, right?
Yeah. So this week was submitted by Photocyclist, PG movies that would never be rated PG today.
Mm.
And so what we interpreted that was any movie before 1984, because in 1984, movies like Gremlins and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom caused a whole bunch of parents to be upset because those were rated PG.
Sure.
You're like, well, that's not PG.
That's true. Yeah, it's a cool category because it got me to having to force my head back behind, you know, before 84, which is territory where I don't feel like I have a lot of movie experience. You know, none of them are like the huge deals for me. The big deal movies for me started happening in 84 and forward. So it was a real challenge, but I came up with a couple I think I like.
You helped with that website you sent over that kind of gave us a listing of movies from a particular
particular time. Yeah. So on Instant Watcher, they have very granular search options. So you can actually say, I want everything before 1984 that's PG. And lower and
available to stream. It's brilliant.
Available to stream. Yeah, but it's only on Netflix. It's not Amazon Prime, unfortunately.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's Instant Watcher for those not in the know.
Yeah.
So you guys want to start this off?
Yeah, I'll tell you my two, and then we'll just go.
You got two?
I know we're only supposed to have one, but I'm going to mention another one as like a runner up.
Okay.
Because they're kind of runners up for the same reason that the first one is the way it is. So for me, it's 1981's. Well, they both happen to come out the same year, so maybe that's part of this. But 81 was the year we got to see Airplane for the first time. And Airplane, I think, would totally be R in today's market. And for some reason wasn't in 1981. And they had boobs in it, and they had way more cussing and innuendo. And stuff that today would totally be R, and I still, for the life of me, cannot figure out why that movie was PG-13. sadly, it isn't streaming anywhere easily, other than rentals.
It's on Netflix. I saw it listed. Yeah.
Plane is on Netflix?
Maybe I missed it. Here, hold on.
I think I saw it in the list of, on that Instant Watcher.
You could be correct here.
You like Gladiator movies?
I'm trying to find, why is it? Is it streaming still? I know that Instant Watcher and that other stuff's up, but I still have this.
Go to Netflix and
that works too.
The easiest thing. Yeah.
I thought it wasn't, but maybe it is. So maybe that's good.
I'll buy for you.
Yeah, so check that out. The other movie I was going to throw in there just as a bonus is Clash of the Titans, which also came out that year, and Clash of the Titans the original. Again, loads of boobs, naked butt lady, crazy violence. There's no way that movie would be PG today. There's not a chance, but it totally was. In fact, I remember going to see it on a Saturday afternoon with a theater full of kids, and we were treated immediately to some boobs. I was like, whoa, what the heck?
I forgot about that. Yeah, we even watched that for Film Sec, and I think we were all surprised by, oh, hey, look at Aphrodite walking around there.
A couple of times, yeah. And I think the deal, I think we just had a different notion of what that, I mean, that didn't seem as big a deal.
No.
As it does today. And I don't know what that is. What changed? Like, it's so many of cultures or of our society's mores of that type have kind of gone away, yet that one got more shored up. It's weird to me.
I've talked about this movie on the show before. Mm-hmm. It's a documentary. This film is not yet rated.
Yeah.
It's not streaming any longer, but it was for a while.
Long time, couple of years straight. Really, yeah.
Insightful view into the Motion Picture Association rating, how they rate and all of that. I thought it was just interesting. And that might hold some answers, I think.
Yeah, there's some, I saw that as well. And there's definitely some, you know, it definitely explains a lot about when the PG-13 thing came around and them kind of tightening up and everything. But I think it's funny because society itself seems to be more offended by a boob on screen than they used to be. And that's not the rating system doing that to them. That's just them doing it to themselves. So I can't figure that part out. But anyway, it was those two movies definitely stick out for me.
Airplane and Airplane 2 are both streaming on Netflix.
Oh, good. You want to see the one with Shatner in it? Airplane 2's got you covered.
Airplane 2. Feels like that should be a Film Sack movie, doesn't it?
Why not?
Airplane 2?
Why not?
Seems like it.
Yeah.
There's sure a could. Few of these that I found. I'm like, that's a Film Sack movie.
Brian, what'd you pick?
I picked one from 1984. So I went through, expanded the search on Instant Watcher, went from 1980 to 1984. But the movie I ended up picking actually was from 1984. It is, and because, you know, we're apparently on a Michael Douglas kick today, it is Romancing the Stone.
Oh, yeah. Similar reasons, right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's boobage. There's exposed boob. There's a scene that I remember actually seeing in the trailer constantly on TV, which surprised me, which is Michael Douglas sliding down a mudslide and landing face first in what's her face's lap. Crotchal region.
Kathleen Turner there.
Kathleen Turner. Thank you.
Yeah. That movie had all sorts of
just people getting shot, people getting stabbed.
Yeah.
I think anytime you've got Danny DeVito in a movie, it should just automatically be an R.
I agree.
That should just be a rule.
Should just be a rule, yeah.
Batman 2 should have been R.
That's right, yes.
It came out around, you know, the same year that Indiana Jones, I mean, it's a treasure hunt movie.
Right.
Like, we have this, I think, as a culture, this fascination and desire to watch treasure hunting. I don't know what it is. I love it.
Yeah.
Adventure. I don't know.
Well, they were playing off the success of Indiana Jones, clearly.
Sure. Yeah.
Trying to create their own sort of form of that.
Their own Alan Quartermain.
Mm-hmm. But you guess you could go all the way back to Quartermain, right? Isn't he kind of the beginning of all that stuff?
He's kind of the start. Yeah. The inspiration for all that stuff.
Yeah. I'm down with it. I could use more of it. Like, I love Uncharted. Uncharted is an incredibly, that thing is totally a homage to that stuff.
Tomb Raider and the recent Tomb Raider reboot.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Kind of like the lottery, you know, people quest for money with the lottery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Finding riches, finding the lost city of El Dorado or whatever. Yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
So. All right, you want my movie?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
We're going to hang up on you right now. That's it. We don't want to hear yours. Just kidding. Go ahead.
We changed it up today.
Yeah.
So this is the 1967 film. It's a cult classic. You will love it or you will hate it. The Valley of the Dolls.
Oh, the thing written by Roger Ebert, right?
No.
Is that the one or was it? It was the other one. It was the Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Oh, Beyond the Valley.
That's part two. Beyond Valley of the Dolls is part two of Valley of the Dolls. So Valley of the Dolls, streaming on Netflix, originally came out as a PG film. This film, of course, dolls are a slang term for downer pills. Like, I had no idea. Mm-hmm. But in that time, and it follows the lives of three women, Patty Duke, Barbara Parkins, and Sharon Tate, who the reason why this film kind of had a resurgence is because She was the woman that was killed by Charles Manson.
Oh, right. Yeah, Sharon Tate. Yeah.
Yes. And I guess, what's her face? Patty Duke. She's a singer and Trials and Tribulations. It's some really bad acting at times. It's so campy and awful. And then, but I was just, when I watched it, I'm like, what am I watching? It's crazy.
Yeah.
There's a softcore porn scene in it. I mean, and this is PG. This was rated
weird.
PG.
Wow. Okay. So, that's a winner right there.
Yeah.
Well, late 60s was weird. You know, like Clockwork Orange and this and...
Was Barbarella... Barbarella was PG, right?
Yes, I almost picked Barbarella because that is also streaming on Netflix. And that was PG as well.
It is really weird that these movies got past all that somehow. Maybe it was... I don't know. Maybe it was this period that probably beefed a bunch of that stuff up in the late 70s, early 80s. I don't know.
60s, too. I mean, it was... Free love, and I don't know.
Also, I think
I didn't live in the 60s, so I wouldn't know.
I think movies went from this is a thing that kids can go to and enjoy a lot in the 50s to this is an adult place where all the adults go in the 60s and 70s, and then Spielberg and others brought back the kids, and I think that maybe have when we started clamping down and went, well, wait, this is now a family thing, not just this Saturday matinee kids thing or adult weirdo thing. It's now kind of a weird combination, so we have to have a more granular approach to how we rate it. I don't necessarily disagree with all of that, except they seem to have swung too far in some ways, but
yeah,
it's interesting.
There's so the scene with the softcore porn, it's a French guy, so a very Frenchy guy comes and woos, and because
yeah, let me take off my scarf.
Hello.
It is really, really warm in here. Let me take my clothes off.
It is so, it's so silly and just, but he's basically trying to hire Sharon Tate's character to do this film so she can make money because her husband's in a sanitarium. Everybody's going to the sanitarium too. I'm like, was sanitariums really that popular in this? I don't know.
Big thing, sanitariums in the 60s. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just a really, really, really weird movie.
Patrick will appreciate that.
I can't believe it was rated PG at the time.
Yeah, that's you may have picked the ultimate one because you're right. There's stuff in that movie where like, what? How did that get past any kind of ratings board?
I know.
But it did. So there it is.
Valley of the Dolls, streaming on Netflix.
And that was when X ratings were the big deal, right?
So
surprising to me that this didn't end up there. You know, like it.
They probably cut a lot out.
Maybe.
Maybe
that was it. Yeah.
Gone from PG to X. They would have at least gone to R.
I talked to a dude once who emailed me years ago and said that he was one of the MPAA raider people. Like, he was one of the people that goes in, screens movies, and then recommends a rating. And he said he couldn't tell me more than that. I said, well, I'd love to know more about how this works. He says he couldn't tell me. And that documentary talks a lot about how secret it is.
Mm-hmm.
A documentary is worth seeing, but don't see it with your kids.
No.
Yeah, because they show a lot of things that have been removed from movies, sometimes for good reason. So don't have your kids there.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that was a fun little thing. What's next week? So what are we going to do?
Well, I want to give you guys a bonus recommendal. That's not on this theme, but I've been watching it. And if you're not watching, I don't know if you've spoken about it. Have you had a chance to watch Black Mirror yet on Netflix?
No, Black Mirror. I don't think I've heard of it.
British thing that's a lot like everyone compares it to Twilight Zone or something.
It's like... high-tech sci-fi Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
It's the coolest. I mean, seriously, I have not loved a show. They're about an hour a piece. They're like mini movies. I will just give you a little hint to the first episode of season one. Ransom comes in. A princess is kidnapped. And their quest involves sex with a pig.
Sweet.
So
sweet, you got me. You got me. I'm in.
There's also another one where you can actually communicate. There's a way to communicate with the dead and talk with them after they pass. One that kind of stuck in my head was a society where the entire, well, not probably not the entire, but it's like a American Idol. So they have this show, but the population at whole has to create energy. Very, very futuristic. The way that they do the tech in this show is amazing. I'm just like, I could see that being real. Like, we're so close to that. But then you go, you start weighing the ethics of it and what could happen with it. And it's totally weird, but everybody's on this, on a bicycle, and that's how they're powering everything. And you really, you're only getting little bits of information, and that's the mystery of it. So that's a good one. They're all amazing. And on YouTube, they released a Christmas episode with John Hamm, and I haven't had a chance to watch that one. That one is not on Netflix, but if you just watch the first episode, it is, you're probably going to have to wash your brain after the first episode.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy.
Heard nothing but good things about it.
Oh my God, you got to watch it.
No.
Now.
It's like, it's an anthology, Brian. It's like separate stories.
Okay, so like Tales from the Dark Side, Twilight Zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that
I'll
whole
have
thing.
To check that out. I was right. thinking it was from the description, it was like a continuing story. No. I'll just whack my microphone.
Each story is self-contained.
Okay.
There was one that reminded me of more of like Strange Days, where there's actually a few of these concepts where I'm like, they kind of made a movie of that, but Black Mirror did it better. So the entire history of You, where everything is filmed, which was kind of like Final Cut with Robin Williams, and they can like replay it in their eyeballs, and it's
weird. Okay,
what are the ramifications for you being able to analyze everything you say, encounter, and do? And it's completely crazy. And like I said, it's really, really well done. I love it so much. And I had come across it. Entertainment Weekly had recommended it. And slowly people are telling me, you got to watch this. And I finally got around to watching it. And I'm just hooked. I can't stop watching it.
All right. Wow, this looks really cool.
Well, at some point you have to stop because there's only a few episodes, right?
Yeah, there's three per season. And then there's that Christmas special on YouTube. So there's only two seasons right now on Netflix. I'm going to be so sad because I'm at the last one. I'm at season 2, episode 3, and I got the Christmas episode to watch, but I might have to watch them again.
And did you say these are an hour long each?
They're an hour long each.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. All right, cool. Oh, I'm all over this.
2 minutes, yeah.
They play it a bit like, well, it's more obviously than that, but the Sherlock shows, in terms of, you know, short season, big, you know, bigger, it's more like mini series in a weird way.
Yeah. Really, really well done.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's to me, it's movie level kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I love them.
All right. Well, I need to finally watch it. I've been meaning to forever. It.
Just watch the first episode and you'll be hooked.
Okay. I'm in.
Seriously.
I'm in.
It's crazy.
Nicole Spag, always fun. Always a pleasure. Yeah, you want to mention before we go?
So next week we'll be doing most quotable movie submitted by Bricks.
Oh, cool.
312.
Nice.
So anything goes as far as time is concerned. So whatever our favorite quotable streaming movie is, that's going to be the theme.
Oh, man. Some great ones.
Good
Holy
ones
cow.
In there. Yeah, this is going to be a hard one. All right. Well, we'll get on that. Nicole Spag, everybody. Nicole Spag on Twitter.
Whistler.
Talk to you later. Oh, shoot. Whistler. I hung up on it. Dang it. I didn't mean to do that. Actually, here's what I'll do. Nicole, if you're listening, I'll call you back.
Oh, no, you hung up on her?
Yeah. I hit it right as she was saying the Quizzler's word. I'm going to call Tom. It might need to do that anyway because I think he has a thing.
Okay.
Maybe I'll switch those two on Wednesdays. Because we tend to, not in a bad way, but we tend to go longer with Nicole. Let's see. Do I have Tom's thing here? I sure do. It's right here. Hold on. What? Hold on.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man thick, in the thick of CES Coverage Week.
There. Took me forever to find the window that I had the stream. I was hearing your voice.
Oh, that's not good. Nobody wants that.
That was my,
Yeah. So right. Las Vegas is on fire.
Yes, thick.
With curved,
it's all very thick.
Curved here. TVs and 4,000 pixels and wearables and whatever. It must be insane for you right now trying to sift through all that garbage.
I'm live from Las Vegas.
Not really.
No, this is my third year covering CES from afar.
Yeah.
I was inspired by Mr. John C. Dvorak, who like 7 years ago decided just not to go to CES, which for him, like he's venerated tech columnist, not to go to CES. That was groundbreaking. He's like, I can get everything I need and more sitting at home,
mm-hmm.
just reading the blogs. And he's right. The thing is, I do miss part of being at CES, that sort of like wandering across that one cool thing that you get to put your hands on. And you always have a different perspective when you've actually like been next to a device and got to pick it up and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely know a lot more about what's going on at the show by being removed from it. And we've got Jenny Josephson at the show, so we've got that aspect on DTNS. And most of the time I was at CES, I was sitting backstage at CNET or backstage at Twit,
mm-hmm.
Working on my laptop just like I am here. So
sure. Well, I think that's, you know, that's fine. Plus you can kind of analyze it out of the crowd, away from the mess, away from the stuff that can distract while you're there. I mean, I don't know about you. As much as I love going to BlizzCon every year, I kind of have to watch the videos when I get home because I didn't see 90% of it.
Yeah, you don't get to see the stuff.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah. Sure.
BlizzCon, for sure. You are going, having done both like you have,
mm-hmm.
you feel like you know more about the show when you haven't gone.
Yeah, it's really
but
weird.
You certainly have a lot more fun when you go and hang out and do Ice Cream Social.
Yeah, and thankfully they give us both. So we can watch it later and we can do it while we're there. What is sticking out this week? Is there anything amongst the trees that has stuck out and said, hey, that's a cool thing that happened at CES? Or is that not the coolest tech story of today?
It's, you know, this is day two of CES, of the 3 days that it's open, which means the show's kind of done.
Yeah.
Oddly. What happens is they have CES unveiled for the press on Sunday night. So all the press comes in Sunday. There's even a few press conferences on Sunday. Then Monday is press day. That's when everybody makes their big announcements. And then Tuesday is day one. And that's when everybody who couldn't compete with the people making announcements on Monday try to get in front of a reporter. And then by Wednesday, day two, you're kind of looking at scraps.
Mm.
Like, pretty much everybody has made all the news that they're going to make. So we've got normal things happening, like the FTC ending their investigation into Yelp.
Oh, wow.
Woohoo. Exciting.
Yeah.
Your normal tech news out there.
Hmm.
But I figured what we'd talk about is just sort of that overview, like you said, of what are the big things at CES. And I hope that's what Daily Tech News Show is providing people, is that experience of having been at the show without having to go to the show.
Sure.
So that you know, like, okay, I don't have time to read the million posts that are out there. What do I need to pay attention to?
Mm.
And really, the big attention getters, remember, this is CES. This doesn't mean anything to the rest of your life, the rest of the year. But the big attention getters are Internet of Things, for sure. Mm. Lots of talk about that.
Mm.
A little bit about virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
A lot about cars, automated systems and self-driving cars.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw the video of the self-driving car driving down the strip.
Yeah. Audi sent a car to self-drive itself to CES. BMW's got one there. Toyota's talking about one there.
Wow. So
yesterday's DTNS, Patrick Norton said he had been talking to an engineer at SEMA, actually not at CES, who said, oh, yeah, by 2025, affordable, full-on self-driving cars for everybody.
2025,
that's not... You can afford a Camry. Yeah. By 2025, you'll be able to afford a self-driving car.
That's crazy talk. I mean, it seems like crazy talk, but maybe that's just a bold prediction, but that seems close. That's not that far.
That's probably about the time that Tina's going to say that I shouldn't be driving a car anymore, so that'll work out perfectly.
Kind of perfect for us, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking about that day when I just shouldn't be behind the wheel anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that times up with self-driving cars. Now, Ford had their keynote at CES this year. They were backing off a little bit. They were saying, well, we're not. And I wonder if it isn't covering, you know, their butts a little bit. But it felt like they were saying, yes, we'll get to self-driving cars, but it will be incrementally. That's not saying anything unusual. That's what everybody thinks is like, yeah, you'll add some more assisted parking and some more automated lane changing, things like that. And eventually one day you'll just realize, oh, this car is pretty much driving itself. So maybe they're just taking a different tactic. But every other automaker is really touting like, we're going to be the first. And Ford's like, we're not going to be the first, but we'll get there.
Well, is it? Do you think the other automakers are making these bolder claims because they see what Google is trying to do and they do not want to be behind the curve the way they are with Tesla or anybody else, where they're getting all the press and all the interest and all the excitement, and these venerable old companies need to, you know, get some of that spotlight, and maybe they're making these predictions a little prematurely because they just want to be in the same, you know, spotlight as, say, Google with their self-driving car initiative?
Yes and no. Google has made no secret of the fact that it doesn't want to become a car manufacturer, so they want to work with the car manufacturers to implement this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, not every car manufacturer wants to pay Google, wants to share the wealth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think where you're totally on target is in the mind share, right? Mm-hmm. Whether you're going to work with Google or not, you want, as a car manufacturer, you're going to want people to think of you when they think of self-driving cars, not Google. And right now, everybody thinks of Google. So I think there is a little bit of a, hey, let's try to get people to start thinking about our car brand when they think about self-driving cars.
Yeah, it must be, yeah, like a combination of those things. I don't know. It's such a weird idea. The whole idea of self-driving cars just feels like such a change in infrastructure. It's not,
and it fits with the Internet of Things, which is that other big trend. If anybody's like, what the hell is
Internet explain that a little bit, because I think some people are like, what in the crap is that?
It really just means having internet connections and stuff.
Mm.
So it's actually one of the well-named trends, unlike Web 2.0 or whatever. Internet of Things means the things around you that can benefit from an internet connection will have an internet connection. And examples for that usually are things like your door lets you know when it was opened. And so you know that, oh, it shouldn't have been opened by anybody. That's a concern. Or it'll say, oh, it was opened by your 11-year-old son. That means he's home from school.
Right.
And you're like, oh, good. Things like that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk at CES this year about interconnecting various sensors. So like the bed knows that you got up and signals the coffee machine to start grinding and brewing the coffee. So it doesn't just go on a timer. It actually brews it fresh right when you get up. Stuff like that. We talked about this yesterday on DTNS too. It's actually very early to know which of these scenarios will actually be useful and actually will work as advertised. But a lot of them do have to do with, you know, having your car warmed up and started, or knowing when your car comes home, being able to, you know your route based on your behavior, like that Google Now sort of thing, where it actually thinks I work at the UPS store because I never leave the house. But for most people, it can guess accurately where you work.
Well, okay. And I love this concept. Everything about what you've just described and everything I've been reading about it during the week is exciting to me. And it's we're finally getting to the point that we dreamed of years ago, which is, you know, my refrigerator will know when to chill something or, you know, whatever. It seems like a fulfillment of a science fiction dream in a lot of ways.
Yeah. A lot of those things where they're like, your oven will know when to get the turkey going. I'm like, So you just leave the turkey in there all day?
I don't know. Right. The turkey's going to get bad sitting in your oven uncooked and unrefrigerated.
Sure.
And it will detect the salmonella and then not cook it.
I mean, these do all feel like baby steps toward a future where things are being replicated and being done on the fly, and rooms being smart enough to know that when you walked in, this is what your intent is, or you're talking to a computer omnipresent voice that then does the thing you ask or whatever. We are kind of getting there, but my problem with it is almost everything you've described and everything I've read means a complete uprooting of everything you have, because it's not like suddenly your coffee machine is that smart. You're going to have to get a new one that's smart. And then whose brand are you going to get? And are they going to follow standards, or is it going to be one company that's going to try to dominate that space? But you don't like them as a brand, and you know, like we're back to square one in a lot of ways with this stuff. And it's a negative perspective, I understand, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't know who's going to do it. Who's all going to make it work?
Listen to yesterday's Daily Tech News show, not just because I'm plugging it, but because we really dive into the different standards that are coalescing around this and who's doing what. Also, we've got a great email from a guy named Mark today, who kind of shed some light as somebody who's closer to home automation about what's really important. One of the things he points out is right now you need a central server. He's like, you don't really need a single protocol as long as you've got a central hub that can talk to all the different things. So if you've got some things on Z-Wave and one on Nest and another on Samsung Smart Home, if the hub can talk to all of that, it's not a big deal, which the smart home hub announced that it can do, right? Okay, I can buy whatever I want and it'll talk to this thing. However, they usually go over the internet to talk. They go over your home network to talk, which means lag, which means a lot of people are sitting there going like, I walked into the room. The lights are just supposed to come on when I walk in there. Okay, there they are. It's not quite fast enough. So that kind of thing has to improve.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We were talking about that game, that Jackbox collection, where it's pretty unique because you use your smart device, either a tablet or a phone of any brand, as long as it has a touchscreen and a browser. You use those as your controller. And the way that thing works is you put a little room. You go to the website, Jackbox TV, put in your room number, a little 4-digit code it generates. And then up to, you know, depending on what the game is and how many people it supports, that many people can join your game. And you're doing it all from that room, but you're going out to the internet and then back every time you do anything.
Right.
And there's some lag, although it was genius. I mean, that's a genius freaking game in every way possible. It's so much fun, and it's because of this cool way they're using this technology. But it did strike me that it's a little odd. We're basically in the same room with a machine, and we need to interface with that machine. And to interface with that machine, we need to go out across 1,000 million routers and then through some data centers and then back again through the same network to get to the machine that's 3 feet away.
Well, and that goes back to like, well, there's Wi-Fi Direct, there's Bluetooth. There's lots of ways to connect directly without going out of the internet. But then that comes back to, well, do we have a single protocol to make that even easier? Even if you have a hub that's taking these things directly and routing them directly to each other, that can introduce a little lag. Can we reduce that lag to where it's virtually non-existent? I mean, I think ideally we don't want to have a hub.
Yeah.
Sonos just got rid of the need for their hub on the Sonos player because they're trying to stay ahead of the game, where I actually loved the Sonos for so many years because I could just go to my phone and send music to it. And that was great until I got the Chromecast. And suddenly I'm like, wait, why do I have to open the Sonos app? Why can't I just be in RDO and send it to the Sonos speaker, right? Yeah. So those kinds of things, until you experience them and until you've tried, you know, advances and different versions of them, you're not going to realize what those limitations are, where the pain points are. That's where we are with the Internet of Things, which I think is exciting.
Yeah.
There's lots of people out there trying this stuff and figuring out the quirks and what scenarios are actually useful and what scenarios are like the fridge ordering milk for you, which I don't think anybody really...
Sure, and the Internet of Things is already happening in small ways, like these smartphones and smart watches and how they interface with each other. What are they if not just an extension of the same idea? So I'm all for it. Automate my life. Let's have, what do I want? I want my toilet to let me know when it's plugged. How about that?
I can tell when my toilet's plugged.
Well, I want it to tell me ahead of time.
I don't need anything to tell me that, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to say, if you flushed me now, I would overflow. You just can't see the toy the kid jammed up in there an hour ago.
You're talking, right? Time travel, Internet of Things.
Right.
Where it can tell you, like, oh... your segment on the morning stream will begin at this time. I will brew the coffee at this time, right?
Yeah, why not? Why
That'd
not?
Be awesome.
Yeah, that's when we're talking. That's when the rubber meets the road.
Knows the future, and like you know, oh, Roger Chang will be available for the Google Hangout at 12:26.
Yeah.
So just don't worry about it till right then.
Yeah, we haven't
speaking of time travel, man.
Speaking of which, he'll be joining us this Friday for Current Geek as well.
It's almost like I set you up for that.
It's crazy. Lobby and nice softball.
Actually, I didn't. That was just an accident.
Knocked it out of the park. He'll be here, and we're going to talk kind of sum things up in the way that Current Geek does stories, but a lot of it will be very heavy about CES and what we saw there. And Roger is always an aficionado, if not a direct attender of said event.
But the three of us who didn't go saw there.
Yeah, all those things that we saw from our comfy chairs at home. So watch for that. That's
what
coming up this Friday.
You almost saw at CES.
What was the greatest thing you saw on a blog post?
Amazing. Tom, anything else going on before we go?
So many things. I don't know where to start. Scott.
How about the Veronica Scott thing? How about that? That's a good one.
Oh, that is a good one. Yeah. If the people out there don't already know, I imagine most of you do. I've been trying to build up our stable of contributors. That makes you sound like horses. I've been trying to build up a slate. Does that make you sound like chalk? I don't know. We want more contributors on Daily Tech News Show. So we set goals on the Patreon to allow us to get there. And if we get to our next goal on Patreon, which is $16,000 a month, in addition to Darren Kitchen, Justin Robert Young, and Patrick Beja, we will add Ms. Veronica Belmont and Mr. Scott Johnson as regular DTNS contributors.
Holy smackerolis. That's insane. That's a crazy sound. But
do
man,
you know that guy?
He's
awesome.
He's kind of a dick sometimes, but most of the time.
Never.
He's all right.
Seriously. As in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a, this is
Scott being kind of a dick is like, oh, he didn't answer my text message right away.
Yeah, that's true, I suppose. But very excited about this whole prospect. Yeah, so yeah, watch, keep your eye on that. If you
Patreon.com/AceDetect, A-C-E-D-T-E-C-T, or DailyTechNewsShow.com/support if you just want to find the link.
There you have it. Good. Well, there you go. There's lots of other things. We'll get to those Friday on Current Geek as well. Tom Merritt, everybody. Have a fantastic day, dude.
Likewise to you, gentlemen.
May the rest of CES be filled with curved screens and wearables. Bye now.
And some secret super surprise announcement.
Yeah, which probably won't happen.
One more thing.
All right, we're going to try to call Nicole back because I feel bad. And just get her Quizzler.
All right. Yeah, because then I've got to buzz out of here for a doctor visit. Not for me, even.
Oh, not even for your back?
Not even for me, yeah.
Who's it for?
For Tristan.
Oh, what's he having done?
He's got a weird bump next to his nose that we've got to have looked at.
Yeah, have that looked
at. Did you mean to call me?
I did, because we didn't do the Quizzler, and we got done with Tom and thought we felt bad, and we wanted to do the Quizzler.
You should be.
I feel bad.
I had it all queued
up. I cut you right off. I hit exit right when you said quit, and that was it. And I went, oh, she's going to say Quizzler.
I guess Scott really doesn't like Quizzlers.
I just forget. I forget, and I hang up fast. I'm known for this. All right, my bad. Tell us, do tell us, dear Nicole, what was our Quizzler? Let's do this.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, here you go. Okay. It's a hard one. It's right. A really hard one. I like and if you get ones. It, you will impress me.
All right.
Okay,
all
here
right.
you go.
All right.
License, lady?
I don't have one. I don't believe in them.
How long have you been driving, lady?
Up to 45 minutes, wouldn't you say, Harold? We were hoping to start sooner, but you see, it's rather hard to find a truck.
Oh my gosh, I have no freaking
idea. I get that one. That's Harold and Maude.
Oh, really?
Another good example of a movie that probably should have, because that was PG too, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, that was a PG movie, and it's absolutely wonderful.
It's great.
I love it.
It's old as dirt, but it holds up. It's like the ghost of Wes Anderson went back in time and inhabited that movie. I feel like those guys, like these guys that do the quirky movies today, like Wes Anderson and these, can't think of anyone else, kind of mostly him. I think he owes, the Hesses who did Napoleon Dynamite and all that kind of stuff. Those people owe their careers to Harold and Maude as inspiration. It's the same kind of thing. And it's fantastic. Good pick, Nicole.
It was streaming for a long time, and that's how I watched it, because I was like, what is this movie? It's a young kid and an 80-year-old woman. And yeah, they were a couple.
They sure were.
They were.
In many ways. Well, there you go. We got the Quizzler in. Woo! All right. Okay. Next week, I'm not going to do that, I promise.
Okay.
Stay out of trouble. Bye now. All right, Brian. We're done. We're going to get out of here now. Let me, because you got to go to the doctor.
Yes.
Not just because of that reason. Don't forget, patreon.com/TMS is where you can support this show and help us be bigger and cooler and radder all the time. Not more wicked. I'm not saying that yet. Scott or frogpants.com/TMS is our website. Email us themorningstream@gmail.com. Send us your phone calls, 801-471-0462, or on Twitter. We can be found at morningstream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville. That's going to do it.
Cool. Speaking of Coverville,
today.
Possibly a Coverville today. Depends on how a couple things shake out. But if it does happen today, you will hear the likes of REM because Michael Stipe is celebrating his 55th birthday. What? You'll hear some Buffalo Springfield or Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young because Stephen Stills is celebrating a birthday. He's turning 70. Then you might hear Portishead because lead singer Beth Gibbons is celebrating a birthday.
Wow.
Or selling one.
Yeah, why not?
She might be selling one. Who knows?
I'm in the market. Let's do it. that's great. That sounds good to me. Let's do some music. What do you got?
Sounds good. This is coming from Paul Mills, who wrote in, said, merging words left and right.
All right.
Dear evil scientist and spider goulash, I'd like to request a song from my lovely wife, who I know is listening. We both started listening to DTNS, TMS, and other Frog Pants podcasts about 2 years ago. We both went back and listened to past episodes, and I'm still burning through about 40 Film Sack episodes, and I must admit, I love Popeye also, but I don't get Waterworld.
Ah!
She will frequently skip the covers in TMS, though, because she has a thing about original versions, but I pointed out a bit of hypocrisy that must be addressed. Her favorite band in the world is Def Leppard, Then we went and saw them in Las Vegas last year when they did a residency at the Hard Rock Hotel. It was the best vacation we've ever had, and we want to go back if they ever do another one. Could you please play No Matter What from the Yeah album? I take great joy in pointing out that the entire album is covers, and yes, I get a lot of dirty looks and have to duck for some flying kitchenware.
Nice.
Toad, the what the hell does this mean? Paul from Roanoke, Texas.
Great. Thank you, Paul.
Very good. Great suggestion there, Paul. Yeah. How about this one? This is No Matter What, originally by Badfinger, covered here by the fine folks in Def Leppard on that great cover album, Yeah, which came out in 2006.
No matter what you are, I will always.
I hate to say this, but I'm not a hypocrite.